Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Cleveland Cavaliers lose a heartbreaker against the Los Angeles Lakers. Game went right down to the wire, but as almost anyone could see coming, LeBron and the Lakers snuffed out life at the last minute. To break everything down with me is a very tired Chris Carter. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's fine. That was actually a pretty fun game. And really, isn't that what we're here for?
It's just about what I would want from a Cavs game, or at least what I'd want from a game down the stretch for the rest of the season. The young guys look good. It was moderately entertaining, and it came with the loss that helps the lottery odds. Like, that's basically all you care about, right?
Yeah, I just after the season we've had, I just want to stop thinking to myself at the end of the 2.5 hours, why did I do this? I didn't have to think that today.
I don't want to be like Rob Lowe in Parks and Rec when he's staring in the mirror just saying, stop pooping.
I just like the extent to which I'm wasting my time on the Cavs this season when I could just be playing like Red Dead or something has not gone unnoticed to me. So I don't know how you can't have fun with a night like tonight. Like, it was a blast. Jetty looked good. Sexton had a couple fun moments. It was Jordan Clarkson time. The Lakers are ass. I'll tell you what. They would kill for Larry Nance as their starting center. They would kill for Jordan Clarkson off their bench.
And, okay, so I'm batting 500 on that tweet, my friend. the Larry Nance, I don't know.
Yeah, which one is right?
First, well, to be fair, I said they would kill for Jordan Clarkson over Lance Stephenson. And
okay, I'm sorry. I was lazily misquoting you.
And while Larry Nance has looked awful, JaVale McGee is also an awful basketball player that looks good alongside LeBron, and we've seen that with a lot of centers. He's basically doing J.J. Hickson stuff, so that's great for him. But I don't think we necessarily need to dwell on that too much. Obviously, the big story of the day was LeBron's kind of homecoming to Cleveland there. It was weird. It was mixed emotions for sure. As we have discussed many times, I kind of felt like I was ready to move on. And while I still think the kind of break this summer was what is best for both franchises, I guess LeBron is a franchise in his own way.
Sure.
But both parties involved. It's still obviously painful. Like,
I honestly didn't feel too wistful early on. Like, I didn't like see the video. The video didn't like stir anything in me. If anything, I'm just embarrassed about the whole thing. Like, I don't like that. We did a Fearless Sword roundtable, and it was like, I kind of just like the cat, like, and like, I kind of was proven wrong here because they actually played as well as they could have. But like, I kind of joked that like, I kind of don't like the idea of everyone getting to watch this Cavs roster. Cause it's like when someone makes fun of your parents, like you can make fun of your parents, but fuck you if you make fun of my parents.
Yeah. I like that analogy.
I kind of like the Cavs on Fox Sports Ohio where only the team we're playing's fan base gets to make fun of us.
Right. And recently we have cover, right? Like, we have the Markelle Fultz situation. We have the Washington Wizards falling apart. Like, there's other more compelling storylines. Like, let us just kind of fly under the radar. Let's just hope our young guys play well and we get a high pick in the draft, and then we can go from there and build a team that's kind of actually our own. Because there's just so many holdovers, and it's another one of those nights where it's like, oh, the Cavs played really well. And then you realize, oh, shit, Tristan Thompson is still their best player that's active right now.
I don't know. That wasn't the way I felt about it.
My point is that there's still a Kevin Love and George Hill, which you forget are
part of the sure. Loss. Yeah, well, I literally forgot George Hill was on the team today. Because I was just thinking about it. I was thinking about Andrew Harrison. I was like, you know, I haven't really minded him as a minutes eater. You know, he could probably be our backup point guard the rest of the season. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. George is coming back. I speculated on Twitter as to whether the Cavs coaching staff has also forgotten George Hill's on the team. And he's been healthy for, like, weeks. And just no one's noticed. No one's bothered to check. So he's just, like, in Malibu right now.
Yeah.
Having a nice little vacay. I would love that. I would love that for him.
Point, your other tweet that you had through the night that I agree is Kyle Korver's night is basically going to get him onto another team. And I think
that Kelly, he missed that goddamn three. Oh,
that was a little bit triggering.
Oh, dude, I
forget who tweeted it
again or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I wish I could credit it because
it was Nom. I guarantee you, it was Nom. I think you're about to say.
Kyle Korver's missed the two biggest threes of his Cavs career.
Yep. It was like, I mean, we probably would have lost that game. I mean, we had no one to throw at LeBron at all.
Could you imagine how tired you'd be if this went to overtime, man?
Oh, I would have been. I mean, I don't know. The game was fun. I just don't have the energy for the podcast. Don't let our listeners know. No, like, honestly, I was proud of everyone. Like, Sexton had a few moments. Like, when he threw the off the jump ball, when he threw the weird oop to Clarkson, his reaction after it, like, had me more hyped than I've been at a Cavs game in a long time, man.
Yeah, that was a nice kind of heads-up play. It's still hilarious to me that they called a jump ball there. Like, there's obviously some questionable calls in the stretch, but, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's being the shitty team, though, you know?
Like, yeah, for sure. And
you get bad calls. Like, I remember the Cavs got a lot of good calls.
Hey, and brother Mark had no problem pointing that out throughout the broadcast.
Yeah.
What was with him sermonizing, like, the entire time? Like, I get that that's his shtick, but I guess I haven't listened to a lot of Mark Jackson this year. But basically the fact that he's like telling the Cavs fans like how to act and things like that, like the reception of LeBron was really positive. And I feel like,
yeah, it was like he kind of came in with the game plan.
Him getting completely incredulous that the Cavs had no one to stop LeBron. He's like, LeBron right down the middle. How do you allow the best player in the world to go down the key uncontested? I'm like, that's what he does. That's why.
And also, I mean, the Cavs defense is a tire fire, but we've known this. I don't know.
What do you expect from a 2-13 team or 2-14 team?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, it was a weird night for the comment. I would not pair Doris and Mark again. It didn't really work.
It's kind of like Sexton and Clarkson together.
Yeah, like I actually don't like hate Mark Jackson as much as everyone else. Like as a commentator, like most part, like color commentators don't really bother me too much. Like I like Jeff Van Gundy, even though everyone hates him. Reggie sucks. That's definitely the case. Weber's not good, but like Jackson, I think is normally fine. But it's just like you kind of get the vibe that Mark Jackson and Doris Burke had never hung out before.
I think that's a fairly safe assumption.
And you kind of, if you're going to do the three man booth, you kind of have to like have that synergy of like. I know, again, everyone shits on him, but like you can tell Van Gundy and Jackson are like buds.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. They like shooting the shit about basketball together. And like there was this one point where Doris like kind of like disagreed with Mark, and Mark was just like, I'm not going to fucking respond to that. Anyway, so I do want to. Go ahead.
I'm a little curious about kind of how you experienced this week leading up to it, because obviously. You have more of a connection to the area than I do, and things are always
in fairness. I don't know, man. It's Michigan week, bruh, in Columbus. Don't type the letter M, or the mob will get you. I don't know, man. It was just like I just find the whole thing embarrassing. Like that's what I keep going back to. I find it like almost like emasculating. It's like the Cavs are this like joke, which they are, by the way. Like it's fine. Cavs are this joke that LeBron saved, then left, and then everyone in Cleveland way overreacted and was shitty to LeBron. And that game, he came back, so we had to relitigate that. And now it's like, are the Cavs gonna, are Cavs fans in the org gonna like do the basic decent thing? and that's kind of patronizing in its own way. And then like the whole thing is just kind of embarrassing. Like, I just wish we weren't in the spot. Like, I wish they were decent so we could just like think about how different the way you felt the whole week and then, you know, lead up to the game felt as compared to the game once the game was just competitive.
Right.
Like, the whole thing is just kind of patronizing, and like rightfully so, I guess, because it's like the Cavs are a joke and not a good organization right now and are the worst team in the league by a lot, I would argue. But it's just like, it just doesn't, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Like, even the people like, hey, just real class response, like patting Cavs fans on the back for cheering. I was like, I don't give a shit about that. Like,
yeah,
it just didn't feel like, did you feel that way or am I just way off here?
I think I don't know if off is the right thing to say. Like, I don't really want to dictate how people should feel here because I've experienced the whole LeBron thing a little differently. Like, to me, him coming back, it's interesting because, and I don't want to sound like Heat fans, and let me get the thought out because I don't want to I don't want to come across with an incomplete thought like how Heat Twitter has acted with LeBron, but LeBron coming back to Cleveland did a whole lot more for him and his legacy than it did for the city of Cleveland and the Cavs as an organization, at least in how they are viewed around the league. Like, there is no equity that is left with the franchise and how people perceive either the city or the franchise. It's about LeBron coming back. He had the storybook finished there. He got the title. That's something that's always going to matter to me, and it's always going to matter to Cavs fans. But outside of that, it's a title that people always throw asterisks on when you see national media talk about it. It's the organization never gets credit for what they built around LeBron. It's always about what LeBron did. And personally, I still am a little jaded. And
isn't it kind of clear that that's at this point? I mean, the people who I think you're a little off here from the perspective of like the people who were key parts of that,
right,
are respected nationally. Like Kyrie, like I know, like there's, you know, RPM nerds don't like him, but the discourse is not that way around him. The discourse around like David Griffin fans, is not
David Griffin would be an exception. I think that in general,
like, I think the Cavs, like, I don't know what responsibility LeBron has to create infrastructure for Dan Gilbert's
insanity. It's not his responsibility. You know? Like, I don't think that it's something that was owed to the city or to the fans or anything like that. Like,
I mean, he came out better than anyone else, though. That is for damn sure.
Correct. And he did the most for his legacy. And I think David Griffin has gotten more respect after the fact. Like, I feel like a lot of the respect and acknowledgement for what he did came after he was fired. And he's someone that does media very, very well. And I think after you see how things fell apart without him, that also paints him in a more favorable light.
Yeah. But
this was a point I brought up in our Discord chat. Like, I think that in the summer of 2014, if the New York Knicks were sitting there with the exact same roster, they had Kyrie Irving, they had the assets to go out and get Kevin Love, I think LeBron would have picked New York. I think he would have went there because that would have been his best shot at winning a championship, and you would still have kind of a storybook thing of restoring that franchise. The Cavs presented the best option. They fell ass backwards into it, but they had enough assets as a result of being bad, and they were willing to concede enough to LeBron that he was able to build a winning situation there. So to me, if people feel a little scorned that he isn't spending the rest of his career in Cleveland or anything like that, like I don't think that they necessarily owe anything to him, and he doesn't necessarily owe anything to them. To me, I'm always going to be appreciative of them. He's the best player ever. I've just experienced the whole thing differently. I was just a little more jaded from the start. So I didn't necessarily buy into the storybook aspect of it. I just cared that he delivered a championship to the team I cared about.
I always felt like it was a bit like there's nuance to this, which is, yes, the Cavs lined up right, and it was really convenient for him how it worked out. But you just can't tell me he didn't care about winning there.
I know he cared,
you know, like, so like, yes, maybe motivations were were not like as storybook and pure as people would like them to like to pretend they were, but like this shit did matter. But you know, I don't know, but I don't think I really have too much ill will towards LeBron. It's more just like any issue I have with how this has been handled is just that I'm embarrassed that my team is so pathetic.
You gotta stop taking that much pride in the team or connecting.
Oh, it's just like
mood and identity to the team. Then, man,
I don't know, man. It's just like it's just annoying. Like I like as I said, I don't really care if we toil in obscurity. I just don't want the spotlight on us.
I get that, and now the one moment like this was the
Super Bowl. It's the patronizing. Season. It's the good job, buddy.
Okay, well, that Band-Aid has been torn off because the
spotlight. Like I actually like. Yeah, I'm like I think it went as well as it could have. Like I don't think I was gonna leave that part of the night like feeling great. Like
no,
because the whole thing just felt weird. It's just a weird thing. Like
as I said,
so more than anything,
guys look good. They improved their lottery odds and they didn't embarrass themselves on national TV. I think that was the best possible outcome for this.
Yeah, it was fun. It was the game was awesome. The before stuff was like as good as it could have been. I just think like the ceiling's really low on that for like, I guess like if the Cavs were around 500 and like really competing and playing well and Kev was there, maybe that's the only way I could have enjoyed it. But like, you know, like, hey, like think of those fond memories and now let's get back to like our team that we like and are invested in.
Part of the disconnect, I think, maybe between your experience and my experience tonight, too, is the fact that, like, I didn't get any pre-production stuff. This game was not televised up here. I had to stream it, and I basically just kind of got the in-game broadcast comments and stuff. Like, there wasn't as much of the kind of bells and whistles that I'm sure were surrounding this game from ESPN and their production staff. So, maybe I just didn't get the full patronizing experience, but
I want to clarify here because I think it's important. I don't think anyone was being a dick.
No.
Like it was more just like, hey, you know, like they. I think they're being genuine. It just feels like
no, and like, it's is also this what we're getting. Like, it's what they have to do when there's a national game on, right? Like, they're going to pump up whatever storyline there is.
Yeah,
if Monday night football game and the Titans are playing, they're going to find some damn storyline.
Like, yeah, but I guess my point is, like, no one's wrong to do any of this. And in fact, this is the most important story. They should be telling that story. It's not even like, oh, well, they got to, you know, generate headlines. No, this mattered. It's more just like, I wish the Cavs were good enough and stable enough as an organization to not need this to be the highlight, you know, like,
no, I get that.
But like, I get that's where we're at. Right. And I mean, you know where I stand on this. I think they're going to be bad for a very, very long time. And I've been pretty consistent on that from the beginning of this new journey we're on. But you know, ultimately that's why moving the goalpost is nice. Cause like this game last year would have been, I think, not very much. It would have been a disappointment. I don't really feel disappointed. I was proud of everyone, and it was a fun game to watch because the people I wanted to see do well did well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we also made it out of the week with Kevin Love doing an interview with Rachel Nichols without demanding a trade. So that's nice. Anytime you survive the Rachel Nichols interview, I feel like you can feel pretty good about yourself. So that's
NBA's
another
newest one. Power broker move over World Wide West. It's Rage.
Oh man. Yeah, and as you said, like this season's been so weird because obviously one of the main stories from this past week has been JR being excused from the team, which is something we haven't yet covered on the podcast. And it's clear that at the very least there has been some breakdown in communication. I think the Cavs intended to go into this season and be competitive at least to start the season. And then after a few months, they were going to trade off the veterans after they hopefully inflated their value. But when Kevin Love gets hurt in the preseason and things start falling apart in the way that they did, I think that that caused them to kind of retool and refocus on what the goal is for the season. And obviously some of the players feel that, I mean, as I said, at the very least, there's been a breakdown in communication about what the goal was this season. But the reality is, if this team was going to win or kind of hang around, like, let's say, this year's Magic, the margin for error was going to be really thin. And Kevin Love needed to be a part of that. And unfortunately, I don't think what's happened to this point in the season could be by design, because it's just been so weird and there's been so many things that have kind of come out of left field.
Yeah, I think the smartest thing you can do with this Cavaliers team is to not assume malice when incompetence explains it much easier. I think this organization is just dumb for the most part, like, and it's all led by Dan Gilbert, you know? Like, I think they genuinely thought that they could compete. I think they immediately realized they couldn't, because they're not good at appraising where they are, and also they were so obsessive with this pride thing of, like, it was a very prideful push, in my opinion, to, like, try to compete. It's like the most subtle version of the letter of, like, no, we're gonna be fine. Like, remember that anonymous quote of, like, that came out midway through last year, like, Dan's happy to get his team back?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think that's what this summer was, this offseason was Dan, like, hey, I got my team back. We got some, hey, you know, we got some guys. And then, like, the second reality hits, he's like, oh, shit. No. So it's like, I don't think they, like, lied to these players to, like, put on, like, an external facade. I just think they're, like, dumb and thought they were good enough to not have to do this. But they're not.
Yeah, it seems like incompetence is always a fairly safe bet when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. No, it is also a safe bet, Carter.
I would imagine something to do with gambling.
That's right. My bookie is a safe bet and the best place to do some gambling. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting with my bookie.
There is so much to bet on. If you're looking to scour the college basketball landscape for Cavs prospects, you can bet. You can make it a little interesting. You bet on some college hoops. We got NHL. College football is heading towards the playoff. As I mentioned, hashtag the game on Saturday between OSU and Michigan. Michigan's favored in Columbus for the first time in like 10 years, or even might have even been more than that. So if you're a degenerate of all sorts, my bookie has options for you.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is no option to bet on whether or not the Cavs would beat Duke in a game. But if you're going to put money on that, just PayPal it to me or Carter. We'd be happy to take it. My bookie is the one bet that I know you'll be happy with all year. We recommend these guys because we trust them. My bookie has been in business for years. They got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use.
Sign up this week, and my bookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win.
Also, be sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every DM, every mention, and not to mention that they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted.
Don't miss out on one of the best times of the year to bet on sports. Log on to MyBookie right now and use promo code BLUEWIRE to get that 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Speaking of getting paid, J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith does not want to have a buyout with his contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He wants to get traded. I guess he feels as we do. He doesn't want the breakup to be uglier than it needs to be. I think he sees a buyout as disrespectful, and he'd like the team to work out a trade. Carter, what's kind of your take on this? Because personally, I go with the David Zavac philosophy that if the Cavs have to unload an asset to move J.R. Smith this season, they might as well just tell him to stay home, wait for his contract to expire, clear up the space themselves, because you should not be giving up an asset when you are in a rebuild and you are basically trying to get as many lottery balls as possible, as many flyers, as many options. You want to keep those doors open. Where do you kind of stand on things?
Yeah, I mean, you know where I stand on this. It's a matter of, try to take on an even worse contract and get something for your trouble. Whether that's a Nick Batum, whether that's a Tim Hardaway for a Knicks team that's trying to clear max space. JR Knicks reunion. How about, by the way, the two core pieces of that Knicks, two of the core pieces of that Knicks, the last Knicks playoff team, and Melo and JR having the seasons they're having. it just feels like that's the move. Use that partial level guarantee. And if you can't, well, just sit on it till this summer and hopefully you can trade it then before that guarantee date kicks in. Because again, JR's contract's one of those special ones that's pre-new CBA. So it will, they can trade that at any time before the guarantee date and they'll get big savings. I'm going to answer your question finally, though, with another question. Does J.R. Smith ever play another NBA game?
I think he does. I think he plays another game this season.
You think he's going to get traded?
Yeah, I think he gets traded. And at the very least, I think he either gets traded or he gets bought out. And the two sides kind of I can't see J.R. staying at home all season. Like, I think at some point he would just say, okay, enough's enough. There was no trade market available. Let's talk buyout.
If he doesn't play again this season, like if they just hold on to him until the end of the year, does he ever play again?
I think he does. I think some team will take a flyer on him. I think that especially like, let's say the Lakers plan actually works out and they sign a marquee free agent this summer. They trade their young guys for the third star because they would need to do that because nobody on that roster is going to be that. They're going to need guys to fill out the roster, and it would not shock me to see LeBron go back and get one of his buddies. Like Mike Miller looked washed at times, and once he was kind of just floating there in the buyout market and the free agent market, that was a guy that LeBron brought to Cleveland. So I think JR kind of slots into that kind of role.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. It just doesn't feel like he's got anything left.
Like he's a more liked version of Nick Young, and I think that matters. Like I think teams will take a flyer on him because players on the roster will advocate for having J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. It doesn't feel like he's going to help anyone at this point in his career. I think that part of his career is done. He's just old. Yeah, just like Melo. Yeah, well, especially old guards. They just fall off a cliff and they never come back. And it's easy just to say, listen, he didn't have very good habits after he got paid. And every reporting and quote you hear indicates that that's definitely the case. But this was coming sooner or later. Obviously, the JR, the leader thing didn't hold up. But also, they told everyone that they were going to try to compete. So I get that he's especially pissed. But also, he's not good anymore. So basically, there are no winners here. You could call that's the slogan for the 2019 Cavaliers.
Basically, there's no winners here. I that's catchy. I think Be the Fight might play a little bit better.
Be the Fight is such a dog shit slogan.
It's very fitting for how bad this team is this season.
I'll tell you what. I couldn't agree more.
The only guy that did it's funny because JR talked all this game about stepping up as a leader, and the guy that's done that is Tristan Thompson.
I love that guy.
Oh, he played his damn ass off again.
Just hitting floaters over JaVale McGee, working his butt off, playing good defense on LeBron. Like, you just have to love this guy. And I really kind of hope that, his contract is in such a weird spot where, like, it's still pretty odious and does not – I think he's better than his reputation is, obviously, but his reputation is still what it is. So it's like, I kind of want to see him on a good team again, man, I guess. That's like, I love Tristan. I don't really want to see him go, but I do kind of want to see him on a good team.
I'm going to be real.
But I don't see how that's possible.
You're going to need to carry the podcast when, for an episode, when Tristan Thompson is gone and Larry Nance is his replacement here. That's going to be a dark day for me, my friend.
Yeah, you hate Larry.
I don't hate Larry, but I'm bummed out at how poorly he's playing. Like,
I thought he was good tonight.
He was fine.
Dude, I feel like Larry's best games are like the ones where he's putting up like 12, 8, and like 4. Like, he is a good passer. And
he is a very good passer. And
when he's able to actually leverage it, and like maybe the Cavs, like as the Cavs roster gets better around him, they'll actually be able to do that. I mean, maybe the roster gets better again. Might be terrible forever. Who knows?
Yeah, his best fit is definitely alongside Kevin Love. And Kevin Love would make a lot of these guys look a lot better just because he makes a lot more sense on this team than David Nwaba does at the four.
Yeah, I agree. While I'm disappointed by Larry, and I think we're probably going to regret that contract, there's a couple nice things that, you know, whenever I bitch about it, people kind of talk me out of, which is one, it's not an escalating contract. It actually gets smaller and smaller until the last year where it's like $9 million, which, like, he's probably worth $9 million in today's NBA. Like, and the second thing is, Cavs are never going to sign a free agent worth having. So it doesn't matter. Cap space is worthless. It's just how much Dan is paying.
I'm fine with him as a bench big and kind of the first big off the bench. I just don't see him as a cornerstone of the franchise. And I think that the Cavs might have a different view on that. But ultimately,
I wonder if this season has changed that at all.
I don't know. It's probably too early for that, to be honest. Sure. We should probably end this on a bit of a fun note, and that would be shitting on the Lakers' young guys.
Oh, man.
At what point in the game did you realize that Brandon Ingram was playing?
Oh, I noticed him all the time. He's just bad the whole time. He takes some truly audaciously terrible shots. I said on Twitter, I'm going to need to pull out my Anthony Bennett per 36 minute comparisons again.
Man, he just floats. Like, there's a bit of Wiggins to his game.
Yeah, I just think he needs the ball, man. Like, I think he's got a nice passer. He's an okay finisher. He's an okay shooter. And he just doesn't really fit next to LeBron at all. And it's stifling his development. And I don't really think he has any sense of what he's supposed to be doing out there. And he doesn't have the game to accommodate it.
The Robert Swift version of Kevin Durant. Shout out to Mort.
That was a great Mort line. But even fucking Lonzo. Like, Lonzo had a good game tonight. And I still just see him and think, man, you are average as hell.
See, Lonzo, I can at least see as being like a bit with LeBron,
but he's not an all-star.
No, ever. Yeah. I think Ingram.
If I gave you 2-1 odds on over under Lonzo all-star appearances 0.5, you get 2-1 odds if you bet the over. Do you take that bet?
I do not.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the tricky thing, right? Like, I understand where the Lakers were coming from to a certain extent when you don't want to trade in all of these young guys and jeopardize your space because you can go out and sign some of those guys that you would have traded for in the summer. But you risk another Paul George situation. You risk the value of those young guys going down.
You got to think Kawhi is having fun in Toronto for what it's worth.
Yeah, he's. I think he's enjoying it. I mean, they've been pretty successful, and they're probably going to have a pretty decent playoff run. And their biggest threat in the Eastern Conference just lost to the Knicks. So,
God, the Celtics are bad. Like, talk about like everything. Remember the pod we did with Alex Kungu?
Yeah.
And like we were just kind of like talking through like all the worst case scenarios for them, and it's like every single one is hitting.
Man,
Hayward looks broken. Kyrie isn't really elevating his teammates, though he seems like the least of their problems by like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you look at
Jaylen is shooting too much. Tatum is playing like a knockoff, a great value version of Kobe. Taking bad pull-up mid-rangers every other possession. Not really
good. You look at some of Kyrie's last few games, like against Toronto, 43 points, 11 assists. Against Charlotte, 27 points, 11 assists. 22 points and 13 assists against the Knicks tonight. Like,
he's trying.
Yeah, there's only so much he can do.
It's like Mr. Meeseeks over there. Ooh, he's trying. It's just like we talked about. I said this because you know I was actually pretty high on them at a conceptual level, which is like, but it only was going to work if they were able to find those defined roles, and a couple of their B pluses turned into A's and A minuses, and if anything, those guys have actually looked worse than their B's and B pluses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they can't stop anyone because the worst case scenario of this Horford at the five with no, bruising rebounder on the floor most of the time, the worst of that is coming true. I mean, like they're kind of collectively rebounding, but who gives a shit? Like they don't really like protect particularly well. They don't have any mean screen setters. It's just like it very much is, and I joked about this on the pod because my buddy made that joke, which is like they're just like that team you put together in 2K that isn't as good as you thought they would be.
Yeah.
Because you just switch everything and just say, okay, Jaylen, I guess attack me off the dribble. You know, like it just doesn't quite work. And I mean, Brad Stevens' stock has to be taking hits for not being able to figure this out.
You'd think so, but I don't. I think ultimately it's going to be directed towards the players. He's just built so much equity with media, and especially in that city, that I think he's probably going to skate. And
I just realized something.
What?
What if he's Scott Skiles?
That's a pretty damn near perfect spot to end this podcast.
We suck, but you suck too, rest of the league.
No matter how bad the Cavs are, there's always going to be other teams to make fun of as well. They might not be as terrible as
I actually think I'm getting better at making fun of the other teams because I don't have to pay so much attention to mental attention to the Cavs.
We have nothing to lose, man. Completely unleashed.
You're telling me. Shoot a layup, you coward.
Well, Carter, it's been real. I'm just happy we got this game out of the way.
It was actually a fun one. And I know I was like kind of putting a damper on it with talking about the pregame stuff, but like the game itself was awesome. And like, it's just fun to get to be invested in a competitive game again.
Yeah. You need to lighten up a bit, bud, but we'll work on that. I mean, this podcast continues to be therapy for the two of us. So hopefully we will both lift each other as the season progresses. I want to thank all our listeners for all your awesome support. We got some pretty cool stuff to talk about. So as always,
oh, we got a shirt. We got a shirt, Justin.
We got shirt. We got merch. Sell out. Bro down. We're firmly in the sellout and bro down phases of the podcast. So
yeah, go to the Chase Down Twitter account. You'll see links to the shirt over there.
Absolutely. And more importantly, we are going to be giving away a Sexton Love and Pick and Roll shirt. Let's do it for the end of next week. So the way that you can participate is if you're already in our Discord chat, you are automatically entered. If you want to be entered into the draw for it, you can leave a rating and a review on the Chase Down podcast, send us a screenshot of that review. And even if you don't want to be part of the Discord, just let us know that you want to be entered into the draw. So send that email with your entry to the draw to chasedownpod@gmail.com. And we will be more than happy to enter that in and let you know whether or not you win.
Dude, so, talk about emasculating. Imagine someone emailing us with a screen grab review of of this pod. It was like, I don't need the Discord.
I don't need you guys to be able to talk to me. Just enter me in for the shirt.
Just give me the fucking shirt, man.
I truly respect that. I respect
I would love it. You know what? Whoever says that, I'll buy him a shirt. for balls alone.
Carter's going to be buying 20 shirts this week.
I'm not going to be doing that, to be clear. Please,
make him look like an idiot, folks. He's got money to blow.
I don't at all. Anyway, I'm sorry. This is on me.
It's almost always on you. So thank you, Carter, for derailing this closing. Thank you to our listeners. We really do appreciate all your support. And until next time, go Cavs.